All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Kevin Keith right here with you on a Thursday. Appreciate you dialing us in. Let's thank our community-minded partners. Off the bat, we've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter of Mulberry, Live for Life, Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and ProBite Computers, all from the KNS Radio Network. I am Kevin Keith, and I'll have Bill Gant joining me here in just about 20 minutes or so. He and I are going to talk for 40 minutes or so about presidential election. We're going to talk a little bit about my sponsors and talk a little bit about his podcast, as he's got a video podcast out that a lot of you know about and some of you don't. And we're trying to cross-promote each other's businesses and what we've got going here. So encourage you to find Bill on Rumble or YouTube, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. I wanted to give you my hot take here. I had to take yesterday off because I was so excited, and I was afraid it was like a bad April Fool's prank that Donald Trump had been elected president. But after I discovered yesterday afternoon that it did in fact look like he was going to be our next president, and that we probably have both houses of Congress, things are looking up in America. And I stayed up late like most of you probably did. And again, having my full-time job, I had to be there at 9 o'clock. So I kind of slept in. I just took yesterday morning off just to be totally honest. Sometimes I can't squeeze things into, all the time allotted for it. But I think we all know how that is with, just having busy lives. So I wanted to talk about that and a little bit of my take, as that's what the news and commentary is for. But first, two other things I wanted to bring up. Number one is also in Tuesday's election, we had a governor and a lieutenant governor and the attorney general, Todd Rokita. He won re-election. Also in Clinton County, we were electing some school board members, and there was one school board member that was in Rossville, particularly for the Rossville School Board. It was a very contentious race all last couple months, and that's why I tried to get these individuals on the air, so we could hear straight from them as to, you know, what their feelings were on things and how, they felt about how they wanted, things to go for the future of Rossville. And I'm so happy to hear that, 62% of the registered population actually cast a ballot Tuesday night. So I think that's pretty awesome. And I think all of you should be proud of that. Now, Brent Michael defeated longtime incumbent Julia Meek. I say longtime. This is for Rossville Consolidated School Board District 20. Julia, of course, has been there for 4 years. And I had a chance to speak with her, as you guys probably heard the interview or checked it out at knsradionetwork.com/interviews. But this was for Rossville Consolidated School Board District 20, and Brent Michael beat her handily Tuesday night. I think it was quite a surprise to me. I think it was quite a surprise to a lot of people that he defeated her as handily as he did. He got 65% of the vote. Julia got 34% of the vote. Longtime president of the Rossville Consolidated School Board District and also Clay Township representative, Joe Hufford, he won handily over his challenger, Dylan Rothrock. Joe with 65% of the vote to Dylan's 35%. So it was kind of like the community said, yeah, we want to change, but we don't want to change that much yet. And so as a result, you're going to have a new person in there on the Rossville Consolidated School Board. And there's still one more that everybody is waiting on, and it may have got taken care of last night. I apologize if I haven't heard yet, but there was one other position. It was, Gentry Pendleton and Janet Blackburn vying for the Rossville Consolidated School Board Clay Township, which is, that was Rossville Consolidated School Board District 19. And Janet Blackburn, who was challenging Gentry, jumped out to a big lead, and they were virtually tied late last night, as the latest information I had heard. So we could get two incumbents knocked out of the Rossville Consolidated School Board District. And again, that kind of tells us that people say they want some change, but not full change, as Joe Hufford easily won, as he's been the president and setting the tone of the school board for the last several years now. Like it or not, that's what he's been in, and he easily won that. Now, the other quick contested races for county council, you had to vote for three. There was one Democrat, Mark Newhart, who we also talked to. He didn't win that, so we kind of expected Republicans to easily win that. They did. It was Mike Hensley, Jeff Chenoweth, and Mary King, all getting about 30% of the vote, not quite 30. But again, 6,936 walk-in absentee, 546 paper absentee, and 5,149 election day votes. 62% of the registered population cast a ballot in the 2024 general election. So congratulations to you. I'm very proud of you, Clinton County. We're going to talk more about the presidential election here in just a moment, and the big win from President Trump Tuesday night, and hopefully a win for full Congress. But I saw this late last night, and I wanted to, there's so many things going on, it's kind of hard to squeeze it all into the news and commentary here. Let me double check something here. Yeah, okay. So yesterday, if you recall, late last week, I talked with Rick Snay, who is the podcaster of the podcast Delphi After Dark, and he's been following the Delphi double homicide trial for suspect Richard Allen for many months and a couple years now. And we talked the other day. We poked a lot of holes in the prosecution's prosecution of Richard Allen. I am of the opinion, as he is, that Richard Allen did not do this. And I have my reasons, and I've got what I think is some good evidence. And there are some people out there listening, probably, who think, Kevin, you're a crazy ass. Of course Richard Allen did it. But that's why we can agree to disagree. That's why we have jurors and juries. I just hope they get this one right, which would be a full acquittal, and give Richard Allen a chance to get his life back, and then go find the person who actually committed these crimes. But late yesterday afternoon, we were in day 17 of the Delphi double homicide trial. The defense rested its case. And Rick and I talked about this last week, about how we expected this to be a short week with the trial, because the defense pretty much did most of their damage on cross-examination with the prosecution's witnesses. So Richard Allen, of course, is accused of killing Abby Williams and Libby German off a hiking trail in Delphi in 2017. His defense called 20 witnesses to the stand starting less than a week ago. The next step is going to be for the 12 jurors to determine a verdict. Special Judge Fran Gohl excused the jury as the state house, as the state and defense settled jury instructions. One of the main arguments was if Allen could testify due to prior inconsistent statements that he made, particularly confessing, and sometimes confessing under duress. Attorney Nick McClellan said the state had no objections to the instructions as proposed. Defense attorney Brad Rossi asked the court for time to finalize the section on how the jury should judge the credibility of Allen's incriminating statements. Rossi said he promised to have that done by the end of the day yesterday. Gold plans to give the jury the instruction ahead of final arguments. And she also said she will limit the length for both sides' arguments to 2.5 hours. So you could have your closing statements 2.5 hours. Now, the state did call a rebuttal witness yesterday morning just before jury instructions were finalized. They recalled witness Brianne Wilbur and questioned her about the Snapchat photos she took February 13th, 2017. She said she had arrived at the Freedom Bridge at 12:25 and walked to the Monon High Bridge and did not see any girls or anyone who looked like the bridge guy. During cross-examination, the defense questioned how good her memory was 7 years later, and she said that the police were more focused on the end of her time on the trails. The state then recalled witness Indiana State Police Master Trooper Brian Harshman, who said that Allen was in solitary confinement at the Wabash Correctional Facility and Cass County Jail, and his cell in Cass County was slightly larger. The attorney Stacy Diener then called Dr. John Martin, who provided psychiatric services to Allen at Westville starting November 22nd, 2022. Martin was prescribing Allen's medications. He came to Westville on Prozac. He said the nurses would keep track of whether or not Allen would take his medications. And then there was further testimony here. But what it comes down to is, at 2:16 yesterday, Gold told the jurors, "You have heard all the evidence in this case." So closing arguments will start this morning at 9 a.m. And I'm guessing they will give probably the defense or the prosecution, not for sure who would go first, 2.5 hours, which would take you to 11, 11:30. They'll probably do a lunch and then come back and do a couple more hours of the defense or the prosecution with their closing arguments. And the jury should have this by, I'm guessing, 3:30 this afternoon. So we could have a verdict as early as tonight or tomorrow, or it may drag out for a week and they may have a hard time coming up with it. I personally think that it's going to be an acquittal, just based on the evidence and information I've picked up, because the defense is really good and they poked a lot of holes and created a lot of reasonable doubt when it comes to Allen's guilt. And again, that's one man's opinion, but I'm looking for an acquittal. And then that would mean with double jeopardy, he cannot ever be tried for this again. If it's a hung jury, they could retry him, but not sure that they would want to do that. I just hope that if he is acquitted, that they will get out there and actually try to find the right person, the person who murdered these two girls and committed this heinous crime 7 years ago. All right, again, Bill Gant is going to be joining me here in just a few short minutes. Wanted to give you a couple of my thoughts here on the presidential election Tuesday night. Yay for Trump 2024 and yay for all Americans. I was so happy to see that the battleground states went to him and started falling like dominoes for him once the first one or two came out, and they were able to predict in real time pretty early that things were looking good. And when you watch the CBS liberal lamestream media, when they're on there and they're talking about how things look pretty grim for Kamala, when you know they're clearly in bed with her and want her to win over Trump, I knew things were looking good. I've not seen a man beat a woman like that since the Olympics, so I'm sorry. It's kind of funny. I knew that this was something that was going to be very important for America for two reasons, just from my personal life. My girlfriend, Shell, did everything she could to make sure that she could vote. And she doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to politics, but she's really paid a lot of attention to politics, particularly Donald Trump, Joe Biden and just trying to be an informed person over the last year or so. And part of that is because of me. I always talk about it, and I'm always watching and reading political stuff. And she just, you know, I asked her how she felt about the liberal issues and the conservative issues. And she's been on the Trump train from pretty much day one. She never really gave Biden a chance. She watched the debate and, like the rest of America, was like, holy shit, what is going on? And so she wanted to make sure that she was able to vote for Trump, and she made a point to do that last Saturday morning. She voted early. Now, I knew that it was an important election when Shell had to make it a point that she would go vote, because she's just not normally real interested in things like that. But she's voted the last couple of times, and I'm proud of her, and I'm glad she cast her vote for Trump. At least she said she did. I think she did. The other thing was my kids. I have, again, being around me, Kevin Keith, you're going to hear politics. You're going to talk a little politics, but both of my boys have been on the Trump train from day one, and it wasn't necessarily that they heard me talking about it. It's just they were even able to look at this absurd shit that's went on in America over the last 8 years or so, and they were like, they just know that's not right. That's not normal. So even kids were, my kids were asking me last night, how's Donald Trump doing? Did he win? One of them got up late and said, did he win? Yes, all right. They asked yesterday morning before they went to school. They said, we won, didn't we? And I said, yeah, we did. We did. So America basically said no to men and women's sports, no to boys and girls' bathrooms, no to open borders, yes to mass deportation. And I tell you what we got to do, friends, is we got to be very careful over the next 3 months until Trump is sworn in on Inauguration Day, which is January 6th, because right now China and Russia and all these bad players in the world, they see that we are very weak. We have a non-existent president. We have a vice president, which was just whipped in the presidential election. So we're very weak right now. So Biden and Kamala are not going to be having America's best interest at heart for the next 3 months. They're going to be bitter. I see them trying to do really terrible things to sabotage the upcoming Trump administration or even America, because with the way they believe and their policies, they don't love America like they want you to believe. And China and Russia has been watching this. And so now they know now is the time to make a move. It could be something really serious, and I'm not talking about Russia taking more property from Ukraine. I'm talking about Russia and China teaming up and coming over here and start pushing us around on our own soil. And if you say that's crazy, Kevin, well, we've seen crazier things happen in the last 6 months, haven't we? With presidential assassination attempts and all this efforts to put Trump in jail. They tried to embarrass him. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to put him in jail. And then they tried to kill him. And so with that being said, we can't trust these people for shit, basically. And we got to really be watching it over the next couple months. And we got to be taking care of Trump over the next couple months. We got to make sure that that Secret Service is right on their toes, and he's got to make sure he's taking care of himself as well. He needs to be sitting in a safe office, figuring out what he's going to be doing on day one, which we'll talk about a little bit more. I wanted to point out one thing. I think one thing we have to talk about is the importance of the podcasts. And I'm talking about Joe Rogan, Bussin' with the Boys, and Steven Crowder. President Trump sat down with two of those three people who have podcasts that are done every day, and they have millions of viewers. And I think it was, I think that pushed it over the edge for Trump, because he was actually able to go on there and just have conversations instead of going on NBC or Fox or MSNBC with the lamestream media, who hates him anyway and is going to try to embarrass him anyway, and not even talk about policy or try to talk him into a corner. And then you have Joe Rogan, who just has a conversation. They didn't talk a whole lot of policy, but it made Trump a real person. And I think that Bussin' with the Boys, Steven Crowder, and Joe Rogan forced these young men who wouldn't normally vote to hear these podcasts and think, you know, he seems like a real dude. And I also don't want boys and girls bathrooms. I also don't want men and women sports. I've never voted before, but you know what? I'm going to go vote now. So I think the podcasts are starting to take the place of the NBC Nightly News and the CBS Election Crew 2024. So I think in the future, you're going to see more of these podcasts be viewed and watched and taken seriously. According to longtime Trump confidant Roger Stone, Democrats only have themselves to blame for what happened in the election, and I agree with him. Basically what I said a minute ago, if you want to make someone iconic, try to throw them in jail, try to bankrupt them. If you want to make them iconic, cook up a fake hoax to justify their removal from the presidency. If you really want to make someone iconic, try to kill them. Try to shoot them a couple times, because I think that also helped Trump get over the edge, because if someone is shooting at you and trying to take you out, that means you're doing something right when it comes to American politics, at least in Kevin Keith's point of view. The other outcome that I hope happens is this is the implosion of the Democratic Party. They lied to the American people about the health and fitness of the president. It prevented, threatened, litigated, otherwise eliminated the ability of other candidates for the primary to compete, the Democrats. They could have got a much better person. And the Democratic Party, the Democrats in America, should be mad at the party for doing this to them. They just put Biden out there and didn't give anyone else a chance. Then they pulled Kamala in at the last minute once everyone was like, oh, maybe Joe Biden doesn't have the cognitive ability to lead. Well, no shit. So if I was a Democrat, I'd be real mad at my party today. The party and the administration used lawfare in an attempt to imprison, bankrupt, kill Trump. These are collectively grave threats to the democracy, and I wish I could say I was surprised. The Democrat Party accused the opposition candidate of being a grave threat to democracy. The Democratic Party proved itself to be fundamentally undemocratic. It needs a complete reboot, and that's one of the things that Bill Gitt and I are going to talk about in just a short minute. Finally, the leadership should be thrown out and those responsible should apologize to the American people. And I think Abraham Lincoln said it best. You can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And I think that's what we saw Tuesday night. So thanks for listening to me here on the first portion. Going to bring Bill Gant in just a moment after this commercial break. Want to thank our sponsors. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Pro by Computers from the KNS Radio Network. I'll be right back in just a few short minutes with Bill Gant.
Just imagine, next summer when it's hotter than blazes, you get into your car after it's been sitting out in the sun, and it's like, feels pretty good. Thanks to Marchand's Window Tinting. Window tinting has all kinds of benefits. Along with keeping your car's interior cooler, tinting protects upholstery, blocks harmful UV rays, offers shatter protection, and makes your car look cool. We stick it where the sun shines. Marchand's Window Tinting, 4015 South State Road 39 in Frankfort. Google them today.
There is a group in Lebanon making a real difference in the lives of Boone County's previously incarcerated, particularly women who are trying their best to get their lives back on track. It's called Live for Life Indiana. Their mission statement? to reunite, support, and strengthen families by providing housing first. It can be hard to successfully manage life after incarceration and while trying to remain in addiction recovery. Live for Life can help by providing rental deposits, monthly rental assistance, mini grants for housing-related expenses, and connecting women to a mentor to help them with life skills and overall navigation through their new life. They use a self-help, empowerment approach as they assist with budgeting, financial support, and advocacy in working to reunite families. They work for social change through education, service, and collaboration. Rebuilding lives, restoring hope. Live for Life Indiana. Contact them via their website at www.liveforlifeindiana.org. Again, that's www.liveforlifeindiana.org.
You started out with just a junk drawer.
There is a paperclip,
but it's grown into a junk garage.
Ah, where's my car?
Might be time to haul your junk to Wampler's Disposal Service and Recycling. Wampler's accepts everything from junk autos, new and used steel, aluminum and diecast, to brass, copper, and all scrap metals, even plastics and paper. The place where recycling always makes sense. Wamplers, we haul it all. Find us at WamplerServicesInc.com. The best in the business.
Welcome back to News and Commentary with the KNS Radio Network. We want to thank our community-minded partners. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tending in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, plus Pro Buy Computers, all with the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keith, and Bill Gant joining me here in this portion of the program. Morning, Bill.
Good morning. That is a big list of sponsors, sir.
I'm so proud of them. And the thing is, I know every one of these people, and I genuinely like every one of these people, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Normally in sales, you kind of take the sales where you can get it, you know. And not that I wouldn't do that, but it's good to partner with these folks and know every single one of the people who either run the establishment or own the business or whatever. So yeah, it's very humbling too to be able to walk into a business and say, hey, I have this online radio station, and I know you may know my name, but you may not know anything about what I'm doing. And people are, yeah, let's give it a chance. Let's give it a try. So
that's great. Hooray for small business.
Yes, for sure. And I tell you what, not to get off into the weeds here, but I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they asked me how the station was going. And I said, you know, I couldn't be any happier with it, if that's the question, because I've got this capability here. Since it's all online and it's all digital, I can look at any given time and see how many people are listening. So that gives me, you know, some gratification there, and helps me program, you know, better as far as, you know, putting the important stuff where most people are listening and stuff, and cross promote on Facebook and do all that. But I told them, it's like anything else. If you do, or this is the way I am anyway, if you want to do something, you pretty much do it 100%. You go at it full force. And it's so frustrating for me sometimes, because I have to keep a regular job to keep the bills paid, you know.
Yes.
And I want to give 110% to KNS, and I do when I get a chance to give 110%, which is some evenings and most weekends, you know.
So, yes.
So I'm to the point now, it's like, and I had a pretty good idea that it would take off and be successful, and I've got, like I said, these partners, they're telling people and playing me in their stores and their businesses and stuff, and helping me grow. But I need more hours in the day to work on it the right way. You know, it is, I feel like I'm drowning some days.
Yeah. 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 You're running, you're the CEO, you're the talent, you are the sales division,
yeah,
prize coordinator,
right? So it is a lot. And like you said, yeah, prize coordinator, it's the little things. We give away stuff and then I have to set an alarm, you know, to make sure I check the people who had said, posted KNS Radio Rocks, and set an alarm for later in the evening so I can give away that prize. And then I have to contact those people and then mail it out. And, you know, it takes time. It takes a little time here and there. But, yeah, when you're doing it all and you have a handful of sponsors here that that you want to take the best care of, so far they've all been great. I've been able to get some good commercials written and produced. I've ran into the situation where I don't want everything to be voiced by Kevin Keith.
Yeah.
So I've reached out to a few people and, you know, had some other people do some voice work as well. And I may actually reach out to you, Bill, because I may need a couple.
Yeah, you just said right, radio, like ad copy. I love doing that.
I know. You got a talent for that. So
I enjoy that. So, yeah, and well done. Because, yeah, you're doing all that. And then you have a other job.
Yes, I do.
A whole other career
Yeah. And it is crazy. And I love my other job. That's, you know, I've got such great bosses there to work with, too. So I think what's working for me so far is, like I've said from the beginning, use it as a marathon, not a sprint. You know, you can't, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know. So. Yeah. So I try to do that. But even doing that, man, it is overwhelming sometimes because I want to do it the right way. And little things like even finding times to record interviews sometimes, if I can't do them live, you know, I got to coordinate with folks' schedules. And everybody's been great to talk to me like after hours because, again, I'm working through the day, and they're cool, you know, if we talk after 5 or 5:30. So far, so good there. But I could go on and on. I love it. I'm humbled by how successful it's been and how many people have been listening. And you know, you have an interesting interview, and it really gets a lot of people, you know, listening and talking and generating buzz. And so I try to keep my finger on the pulse of the community and get those interviews when I can.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Well, it's a constant struggle, but it's a fun struggle, no doubt.
Yeah, great hobby. Beats golf.
It beats golf, that's for sure. Now, the other day I had I was talking about my sponsors. I dedicated a whole show, I think it was Monday, to how I met these sponsors and how I got to know each individual person, which was kind of fun. I didn't have a whole lot to talk about on the air, so I thought, well, I'll just talk about the sponsors, right? Never can go wrong with that. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear it or not, but one of these, it's not every one of these are paid sponsors. You know, a couple people have helped me out with, like Charlie at ProByte, he gave me the computer and set it up for me, you know, and so it's kind of a trade. He gave me the computer and I gave him a couple months of advertising here.
Yeah.
And
I've heard that he helps lots of people starting their own media arms and things.
Yes. Charlie's a good man.
I've heard rumors of that.
Charlie's a good man. Yes, indeed. Yes. But there's one that is Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry. And what that is a it's basically a flea market that's open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 10 to 4. It's right across from South Fork Restaurant there on the main drag in Mulberry.
Yeah, can't miss it.
And he's got a couple, three or four or five rooms in the bottom part of this old building that he, you know, has just various items. And, of course, you know, I've got a booth over at Trader Buck's in Lafayette where I have flea market various items as I've been a wheeler and dealer for a long time. And so I got frustrated with Trader Buck's, and I was talking to Jim, who owns Sanford and Daughter, and so we came up with a trade deal there. So I'm giving him advertising, and I'm proud to announce that he's giving me a room inside of Sanford and Donner for me put all my stuff. Yeah.
Kevin Keith room.
Yeah, the Kevin Keith room. That's right. And I get to tell Trader Bucks to bite the big one, and I'm happy about that.
Cool. Goodbye, Trader Bucks.
Yeah, man. So using the power of K&S to help with marketing, which will help only help him, and I get a room out of it for 6 months at a time or so. So, yeah, I like it. And if there's a business out there, I always say this, and every now and then someone will contact me. If there's a business out there who wants to jump on board, get on board with greatness here on the ground floor of greatness, I call it, you can contact me at kevin@knsradionetwork.com. And I've told these businesses, Bill, and here's why I've been so successful is I'm the boss. So if the dollar amount that I'm asking for advertising is too much, you can talk to me directly and we can come up with a budget that fits your marketing plan.
There we go.
And so I can fine tune and I can pivot and we can massage these marketing plans and stuff. And I've been able to find something that fits for everybody. And part of that is even like if the business can't afford like a cash deal, we'll do a trade for them to give me things to give away on the air, like Pizza Hut, you know?
Yes.
Pizza Hut is not going to sponsor a local radio station on a national level. It's a national chain. But if you get in there with the local general manager and she talks to her district manager, all of a sudden you get these free pizza coupons, you know?
There we go. So, everybody wins.
Everybody wins. So, yeah.
And I will say people out there, I'm sure they know you and who you are. And I know you pretty well. And especially with your relationship with like antiques.
Yeah.
And collectibles and things like that. And you just said, you know, if there's any business out there that would like to trade, I would also like to say just on behalf of Kevin, if you're just a homeowner with an extra room, this guy loves stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So if you just have some extra room in your house, get a hold of Kevin. He needs the space.
That's right.
He needs the space.
You too could have a Kevin Keith room in your house, right?
Yes.
Or if you have a room that's full of stuff that you don't want to haul off yourself, Kevin Keith will come pick it up for you.
That is beautiful.
If you want to give away some stuff.
They call you haul. I just made that
right.
up.
That's right. See, that's why you're the copywriting genius.
There you go. Because I think of those taglines that no one else uses around this town. Yeah. Above all, a good roof. Yeah.
Above all, a good
roof. I made that up. That's me. I did.
All right. Well, here we are. It is Kevin and Bill, and I appreciate you coming on with me once a week, Bill. I know last week we occasionally have, you know, we both have lives, so occasionally things pop up where we just can't, you know, it just doesn't work out for us. But and I always feel like I miss you when we don't get to meet up for at least once a week. So it's good to have you back here.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes. And I know we were joking a couple weeks ago that two people asked me about Bill not being around, and you were kind of laughing at that. But I think that's a good thing. I mean, that's just the people who
asked.
The
fan club is well over two humans.
It's you know, there's other people out there who would miss or notice that you're not there on a Friday or whenever you can come on board. But it's just two people would say something about it. You know, so there's certainly more people out there who are thinking, oh, yeah, because I had so many people ask me when I started this back in February, how are you going to incorporate Bill Gann? How are you going to get Bill Gann on? Are you guys going to work together again? And I was just like, well, I mean, he's got his own things, too. So I don't know, but I hope so, you know.
I don't want to say it's a good match, but if people could out there, if you could just close your eyes and just imagine if John Lennon never got shot and he got back with Paul McCartney, that's what it's like.
that's pretty high standards to live up to here, Bill.
We're almost the same, almost indistinguishable, really.
Yes. You've got a little more hair than I do, though, so actually in person, it would be easier for people to tell the difference.
I'm very Ringo, really. I'm very Ringo.
Well, I wanted to get your take on the presidential election the other night. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you a couple weeks ago, you had the voice of calm and reason, and you said if your guy or gal doesn't win, it's not the end of the world. You'll still wake up. You'll still have your job thing. You know, you'll still be able to eat lunch. The sun will come up, you know.
Lap dances are being given. Big Macs are being served.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Large pizzas, stuffed crust, and pub-style pizzas are being served at Pizza Hut. Yeah. No matter what happens, the world just keeps moving.
Yes. The lap dances continue. Good point.
Yes.
So that gave me some comfort, but it wasn't going to be good enough. I wanted my guy to win. And sure. I had my own reasons for it. Some people are more extreme than the others. So when we found out, I was watching, I think it was CBS maybe with Norah O'Donnell. I started watching them around 7 o'clock. I kind of like watching the networks. Plus I don't have cable, so I don't have Fox News or MSNBC or anything like that. So I had to watch like WLFI's coverage, you know, which is CBS. And okay. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I know I go into it knowing that they're biased and they're anti-Trump. So if you know that, it doesn't piss you off so much. But as the night went on, and I pulled out the laptop and I started watching a couple of my podcasters that I watch, and they were doing some live, you know, streaming stuff, and they had their own maps, and they had just as cool graphics as any of the networks would, you know, and if not just as up to date, maybe more up to date than the networks were. And yeah. I started watching them and going back and forth, and about 10 or 10:30, I got this real feeling that Donald Trump was going to be doing very well and would come out of this thing probably victorious. And I kind of dozed off a little bit a couple times and woke up around 1:50 and had saw that he pretty much has been declared the winner and picked up some of those battleground states that were supposed to be really close within a couple decimal points of each other, and he ends up winning in 2-3 percentage points, which is a lot in something that's close. So it was a good night for me, and then to find out that we probably got both arms of Congress. I know we've got the Senate. We're still waiting on the House still today, so it may be another day or two. But, boy, if you get the trifecta there, it could be a real win for Donald Trump. So what was your overall take on it? You kind of predicted it a couple weeks ago. You said, I think Trump's probably going to win. I mean, from things I'm watching, and we talked about the betting pools and, you know, things to watch. But I had so much invested in it, not money-wise, but emotionally-wise, that I wasn't getting cocky. I didn't want to jinx anything. So I was really pleasantly surprised when I saw he was winning and winning decisively.
It was close. I mean,
it was
interesting. Like, I was looking the day before the election, and I saw on YouTube, and I think it was ABC, and it was from 1984. And I don't think I told this last time, so I hope I'm not doubling this story. But it's the ABC talking about the 1984 with Ronald Reagan, and he's against Mondale and Ferraro.
Yep. I don't think you told this story.
Okay, good. So the totals come in, and like, you know, Mondale wins like the District of Columbia, and he gets like 3, and then Reagan just wins everything except Minnesota, which was his home state. He hadn't like lived there in 20 years.
Right.
But the thing was, what really shocked me when I watched that is, so Ronald Reagan is, and why I remember this election, I was like 7.
Right.
So I don't really remember all that part, but I do remember years later watching Dennis Miller stand up from like 1986 or something. Mm-hmm. And it always stands out as his joke. He's like, man, like, what happened a couple years ago? I mean, that guy got stomped like a narc at a biker rally. He's like, that guy had 13 electoral votes. Hey, man, that's 13 more than me. And I didn't even run, you know? So I always remember that. But what the cool thing was, it shows, oh, it's, you know, 256 electoral votes to 3. But then it would show the popular vote. And, hey, tens of millions of people voted for Geraldine Ferraro and Walter Mondale.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, no matter what you think, even that was a landslide electorally, but like popular vote wise, even though they still won it handily, right, there were still millions and millions of people that thought that Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro should be president.
Right.
So this happens in, I saw a thing on the Daily Wire the other day, and I think it's from like a month ago, and it was just these guys talking, and it was just giving facts about the last few elections of how close they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you think it's, oh, it's a big win or whatever, hey, you know what? It ended up, total it up, it's only this many votes that made it happen.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rare that you have somebody that's going to just absolutely ransack and win every single thing and kill the popular. You know, it just doesn't happen very often,
right,
that it's going to go that way. So it was tighter. It seemed kind of like, I heard someone say, I don't know if it was a quote from George Bush, the senior, but like, you know, a week could like kill you in an election cycle. So it seemed like actually like last week, like near like Halloween and before then, that he seemed like he was doing really good. It seemed, I felt.
Yeah.
And then this past week, it seemed to like slow down a bit.
Yeah.
It just felt like it was like, wait a minute. Hey, maybe almost, all this stuff.
He'd almost peaked. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, like, hey, maybe you should have got, we should have done this last week. So,
yeah,
you know,
right.
So it was looking, but it seemed like the most of the night, like he was, you know, electorally, he was always just a little bit ahead. He's always just kind of keeping a lead, was never behind. And then as far as like the votes in the states, like when they started doing the vote dumps and looking at it, you know, you would see a lot of times they dump the city centers first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like North Carolina or something. It was, you know, Harris by like 40 points.
Right.
But then you look at the map and they've just done Philadelphia and surrounding counties. And then all night you just would see that where she would start with a pretty big lead and he just – then as it starts going, he just keeps eating into it.
Right.
And then slowly we get a small lead and then kind of hold it. So he, again, and watching things like the next day, I mean, how this guy outperformed with black people, Latinos, with mm-hmm. young people across the board, right, brought in all these extra people. And it makes the difference. I think they just had a really good message as opposed to Kamala. I mean, yeah, we make the jokes and stuff, but you know, golly, I mean, if this many people hated him, you just got to wonder, you know, a couple of little things. If she could have just put a few sentences together.
Right.
And answered a couple questions a little more honestly, like a human being would,
yeah,
instead of trying to overthink it.
Yeah.
And you know, this person could have been the president.
Yeah, she did this good despite herself.
Yes. Yeah. So, but what was kind of hopeful, and again, hey, I had no idea that, again, like I looked on Polymarket, it was leaning red to Senate and mm-hmm. and Congress as well. But yeah, really great showing. It looks like it's probably going to be a mandate. I was surprised at all that. But what I did like was like the day after, it finally happened what I thought was going to happen 4 years ago. And what I have said before is that I was waiting for someday for an election to come where these people – this incarnation of a Democratic Party gets a comeuppance and finally gets slapped in the face and goes, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And you saw that yesterday, a lot of people coming out and being like, look, we have got to get our message straight. And if we're going to keep going farther left or whatever, we're never going to win anything again. You know, obviously this other side. So I was hopeful. It's a lot of people and Democrats and other people. It just seemed like and Joe Biden like calling and congratulating and then inviting him early to the White House to kind of talk about some things.
Right.
Peace transition. That's what presidents used to do.
Right.
So I kind of feel like, which is what I said before, I thought if he could win this time, this isn't 8 years ago and this isn't all brand new, this whole Trump thing. And I think it's going to be a lot quieter this time. I mean, for one, they have a mandate, so there's not much you can do
right,
about it.
Right.
But number two, I just think people have like had it with like I said, like on both sides. That's why I said that last time, the world is going to end. And, you know, because you have people on both sides, you know, Oprah Winfrey right before the election. If he gets in, this is the last time you'll ever be able to vote again. The world's that's not good for people. You know, that's that kind of talks people into, you know, loading up a a rifle and laying on a slant roof.
Yes, yes.
That's what that gets you. And so what I'm seeing is, and what I think is what's coming back here is also just a little bit of civility.
Yep.
And normalcy. And hey, and a Democratic Party that will come back in a couple years as it ramps up towards a midterm with hopefully things like, hey, we heard you. Prices of things are important. Immigration is important, not just abortion or social, weird social issues. You know, it's time for reckoning and change. So I think it's good. And last thing I'll say, filibustering here, I saw a couple times last night when I was watching it, and I saw it on Fox, Kevin O'Leary.
Yeah.
The guy from Shark Tank, they call Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful,
Investment guru. Right. Him saying that kind of, what I'm saying, but in a financial way, and saying that actually you Democrats eventually will be able to thank Donald Trump for this, because it's going to make your party get rid of these anti-business laws and things that are silly, buffoonery, dummy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the world can't deal with that. Okay. It just doesn't make sense. It's not mathematical. It's not how things work. So this will actually help you guys get better, you know, and rechange. And that's good for everybody. Cause when you got a couple parties that are, you know, both kind of talking about some different things, whatever, that's good. When you got one side that's one way, one side's polarized the other way, you get this weird stuff we've had, and it's just silly. So what I'm looking forward to is a little more just relaxing and a little more just politics just out of just everything.
Well, like you said with Mr. Wonderful, what he said, that's a great point. But here's the thing is, a lot of people when they vote, and not a large swath, I know they try to pay attention to all the issues, but there's a big segment out there who doesn't pay attention to economic policy as far as the details of the regulations and things like Kevin O'Leary's talking about. And so they won't even realize until it starts to help their party. And they may never realize it because they don't think about that aspect of it. You know, they're more worried about social things, like you said. So that's an interesting take. Going back to what you were saying about a mandate, you know, I was thinking just last night that you have kind of talked me off the ledge for a couple of years now, going back to when we worked together at the station across town where the coffee still sucks, because I remember you and I talking about this. Because I just kept saying, who in the hell is cool with men and women sports? Who in the hell is cool with boys and girls bathrooms? Who in the hell is cool with all this liberal socialist crap? And you said, you know, there's a small segment that is, and it's kind of like a pendulum. And I'll never forget you saying the pendulum. You know, it's going to swing too far, and it's going to be too weird for people, and eventually it'll even out. And I think that's kind of what we saw this week.
Absolutely. It's coming back the other way. And you can also say that with a little more certainty, because of the mandate, and also because he won the popular vote. So this isn't just some small group of loud people that are doing something. Again, this is across all colors, all age gaps, all groups, won the popular vote and the Electoral College, which he's never done before. And another crazy oddity that I saw on, I think it was Fox News, was him showing, did you see the thing about that county that's on the border in Texas?
No.
There's a county, it's a border county in Texas, and it is like, it's the highest Hispanic population in the United States, but always has been, you know, forever. This county hadn't voted for a Republican for president since 1892.
Oh my goodness.
And he flipped that county.
Wow.
I mean, that tells you the scope of this and what this is.
Absolutely.
And like I said, very reassured by, again, because somebody who's really good, again, not to keep, again, I have the Xfinity, so I can watch some Fox there. And
right.
But the person that's on there, I guess he's a former, I think, congressman from Tennessee, is Harold Ford Jr.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that guy right there, that guy right there epitomizes to me what I know as what a Democrat is. He's soft-spoken, leans a little more into some social issues and some more government funding on some things, but is not hating the country or calling people Nazis or
yes, you know.
So to see him come out and say, and he was a big proponent, like, hey, my party, we have got to, and we will step back. We got to think about it. I flip around at CNN, MSNBC. MSNBC was talking to like a congressman that just been elected from California, and they were kind of grilling him. And one of them was like, this guy wrote this thing in the Atlantic, and he said, if Donald Trump wins, it's the end of democracy. And she's like, what do you think about it? And this guy was like, of course it's not the end. Just like I was saying, we just regroup. And they kept kind of trying to goad him into that the world was over.
Yes, yes.
He kept saying over and over, which I really liked. And this is good for the country. Is here is this a Democrat person for who's going to go to Congress. And he's saying, what we have to do is go out to the rural areas, go out to these places and talk to the people and say, why are you angry? Okay, how can maybe our policies then maybe help you better than someone else? How can we mold our? We have to go talk to these people, and say, hey, we hear what you're saying, because what you just saw the other night is a backlash to you're not listening to what we're saying.
Right.
So I think it's good. This is good.
I have read a lot of articles by Harold Ford Jr., and he's one of the Democrats I truly respect in this day and age. I like him too.
He's amazing. Yeah. And I didn't follow his career. I don't know how, and who knows, maybe now is the time for someone like Harold Ford Jr. Yeah. to come back and step in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They need a reasonable, level-headed,
yes,
you know, gentleman like that. Yeah.
Used to talk about, you know, the dinner table issues and union stuff and pay stuff, you know, what happened? Yeah. You know, you switched into putting people in bathrooms and sex assignment surgeries and everyone's a Nazi.
Right. Finally, Bill, one thing that you brought up that I thought was real interesting is about the electoral votes and the electoral colleges and the popular vote is that, you know, one thing we forget is in order to get the electoral points for each state, all you have to do is win by however many per county, right? You know how the electoral college works. You don't have to win the popular vote by many, if any, in some of them.
True. Like his first one he did. He won the electoral but lost the popular vote.
Absolutely. And what it's kind of interesting when last night that you brought it up today, a couple nights ago on the election, I was looking at the Green Party and the Independent Party. And you were talking about going back to Mondale and Ferraro, how they got millions and millions of votes, but three electoral votes, you know, points for the whole college for the night. And I was looking at the Independent Party and the Green Party, and each of them got like almost 1.5 million votes themselves.
There you go.
And so it told me, you know, they're not going to get any electoral points or votes with that, but it was kind of intriguing to see that, you know, there's at least 3 million people who went to the polls yesterday really wanted and voted for the Independent Party and the Green Party, both of which names I can't think of right now.
Jill Stein, right?
Yes, yes.
And then I think the one party was the left on some ballots was RFK Jr. was like that Independent Party or –
maybe it wasn't him though, but no, it was another party that had made the ballots, you know, so paying attention to that is very interesting. The Electoral College, I think it works great, for what it is. And if we don't mess with it, like they are talking about, I think we'll be, in pretty good shape. You know, it's worked this far. It's worked for 250 years in America. I think we're in pretty good shape there.
We should stick with it. Unless I'm way off here, what you're speaking to was the backlash after 2016, was the people saying, whoa, she won the popular vote. We got to change this electoral thing.
Yes, yes.
Well, okay, if you would have done that, then the next year, then he would have won again. You know, you can't go change it. Careful what you do.
Yeah, yeah, careful what you wish for there, yeah. And again, and it's important. It's like, you know, you have this argument to fulfill your wants, you know, and you don't always think about down the road how it could affect other things, and including your own damn party, you know.
That's right. They want to kill the filibuster, and they don't want to kill the filibuster. Like, just leave it alone. Calm down.
Quickly, before I let you go, a couple other things we found out from Tuesday night's election. It was Florida voters rejected a measure that would legalize recreational marijuana in the state. That was a victory for Governor Ron DeSantis and billionaire Ken Griffin, who had opposed it. 10 states were voting on measures that would protect abortion rights. And as of still this hour, 6 had passed, and Florida's, South Dakota's, and Nebraska's were projected to fail. California voters, Bill, approved an initiative backed by retailers that reinstates harsher penalties for shoplifters, rolling back parts of a criminal justice law passed by voters in 2014, that stupid law where it was like you can shoplift like up to $900 worth of stuff and we won't call the cops.
It's just it was stupidity.
That's silly, man. That's just crazy.
Going hand in hand with that, something that I saw the day after the election was, the day before, I saw a story about that, what you were talking about, and how they were repealing this Gascon, because the LA district attorney is George Gascon, and he's a Soros funded DA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the night of the election, he was voted out.
Oh, wow.
He's gone. So we've not only got rid of your laws you made, now we voted you out. So this right here, and again, this is why I said 2 weeks ago, we're not electing a king. You don't elect monarchs. And if you do stuff wrong long enough, people will have enough and they'll vote different things. This is how America works.
Right.
It's okay.
And again, that has worked pretty damn well for 250 years too.
Not too shabby at all.
Bill, before I let you go, man, how's your podcast going? You got anything new on the pike?
Yeah. Let's see. I think last week I put out just a short like news minute, which is a lot what I used to do at the beginning of my show, which is just like wild, crazy stories. And I tell like a little joke. In this one, we would talk about those stories and discuss them.
Right.
This was just like a little minute, 20 second where I just do the joke part. And just have fun.
Right.
And then currently I'm working on one that should be done within the week. The title of it is Dr. Boomer.
Okay.
And it's not what you think. What it's going to be is it's about where I talk a little bit about the baby boomers and how it's not necessarily a bad word and how there a lot of things that we are in pop culture still today. Are from the baby boom generation.
Oh yeah.
And then tying into that, then is I like Dr. Pepper, and then I'm gonna tie in. I've got about three ads that come from start with one in like the late 70s, and then one from like the late 60s, and then one from the early 60s, and just how Dr. Pepper and boomers work together, and so it should be a lot of fun.
Very good.
So working on that. Again, give me another week on that one. Then I'll put out some more little news updates. Those are quick and easy to do and a lot of fun. So
very good.
Yeah.
And very entertaining, too. When I get a chance to see those, I always try to share them as well. So
Thank you. And that's on Rumble and YouTube.
Yes, yes.
And the GGHOP with Bill Gant. Should be able to find it.
Yes, the GGHOP with Bill Gant. And once you get there, I encourage everyone to click the little follow button. And then all you got to do is create like this real simple account that doesn't charge you anything. And it basically gets your email. And that way you'll get the email updates when Bill posts something new.
Absolutely.
Which
and this week added a couple new followers on a couple of the accounts. So. It's slowly. It's much like what you're doing. Mine's very small. You know, I don't have large traffic volume.
Right.
So I appreciate everybody that listens. And if you are a listener of Kevin and you're listening to my things, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, maybe those two you added were the two who asked where you were that week.
Maybe it's my fan club. Maybe we can get to three.
Oh boy. Well, Bill, I always enjoy having you on, man. And I appreciate your insight and input, and we'll catch you sometime next week then. All right.
Yes. You have a good rest of your Thursday and a great weekend, sir.
You too, brother.
Yep.
That'll wrap up the program here today. I want to thank our community-minded partners here as we are coming up on the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have the 90s at 9 coming right up here. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies of Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Pro Bike Computers. For Bill Gant, I'm Kevin Keith. Have a great rest of your day from the KNS Radio Network.